You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
I was killing guys like this 10 years ago with my bare hands. I'm not going for any of these tricks. This is a sport of death and honor. Go to the gladiators.
Battle for the mind of North America will be fought in the video arena. The Videodrome.
I'm sick watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
What is up, guys? Welcome to episode 232 of Cinema Crespediso. That's right, it is me, your host, Chris Creswell, hanging out in the Crespediso studio. Got your threat level update. Let's get it out of the way. Current threat level is Sienna, the color Sienna. Be ready to discard your national loved ones. Your traffic update, it's sunny outside, so wear some sunglasses. That's your local traffic update for Cinema Crespediso.
I thought it was weather.
With a very confused look on his face, Cogburn Drew.
Here's your traffic update. It's sunny.
It is sunny outside.
What?
That is correct.
Excuse me?
That is correct, sir. You listened. You are listening.
That doesn't make any fucking sense,
you
dude.
Are, that is correct. You are listening. That. Well, that is the essence of Cinema Crespediso. It makes sense, but it doesn't if you listen closely. Right, that is the essence of the show. With us, returning guests, I believe. I didn't look ahead of time, but I think this is his seventh appearance on the show. Wow. Something like that. Yes, frequent guests. We've had him on early. We've had him on often, ladies and gentlemen. Pedro Lima is here.
Yeah, motherfuckers.
How you doing, man? Looking death in the eye and saying, fuck you, death, and now you're here.
Yes.
Yes.
Twice I said, fuck you, death.
Which is amazing. Good job. Thanks for coming, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, man.
Still in your recovery period?
I am.
Yeah.
I am. This is my first podcast in... Wow, dude, I think it's been over a year.
Since the last time you were here? You were here, I think, like last October or November before the election.
We did I think it was a Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. It was like October of last year, I think. Yes, that's how long it's been, buddy. Not for a lack of trying. I have too many things in my hands. Here we go.
Why don't you take another sip, Chris, and might get rid of that shake.
Get rid of the shake. Take a sip. Get rid of the shake.
No, I thought the running would get rid of the shake.
Nope. Only the alcohol will get rid of the shakes, Chris. Steady the hand.
All right, let's do this, guys. Episode 232. Pedro, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. We got a lot to do here. It is a Father's Day, so thank you for taking the time out to pry yourself away from your
children. Getting me out and letting me have some me time
on Father's Day. Is that crazy? You have to fight for me time on Father's Day. Families are like bombs and kids are like, we should do something on Father's Day.
I love my family. I love my wife very much.
Yeah.
I love my kids.
Yes, you do.
But sometimes I just want to be just left the fuck alone. And let me do whatever it is I want to do. But it doesn't even matter, because even on Father's Day, when I want to do what I want to do, it's still like, oh, so that's what you want to do?
Yeah, you
want
to be alone. Fuck! Like, yes. We do shit 364 days of the year. Can we make Father's Day the one day where I'm...
Just leave me the fuck alone.
Just leave me alone. It's the opposite. Anyway.
I want 2 days. Just my birthday and Father's Day. Let me actually do whatever the fuck I want.
2 days out of the year? Is that too much to ask?
Yeah.
Apparently.
I gave up everything for my children.
Yeah, that's why I... I am here. That's why I asked you here, guys, today to sign my men's rights activist petition. I'm going around. Fathers and men need more recognition in the world today. It's the pussification of the world.
Wow.
And, you know, when men aren't getting a fair shake anymore.
All this coming from Orlando's number one libtard cuck snowflake.
That's me. Libtard, that's me. Orlando's number one libtard cuck snowflake. Fighting for men's rights.
That's quite a flip-flop there.
I'm fighting for
men's rights. Hey, big ups for the bitches claiming Father's Day today because you just picked the wrong fucking guy and he left you.
That's funny too when that happens. You see that a lot on Instagram for some reason. Mm-hmm. On the gram.
I would just love guys to claim Mother's Day.
Oh, the hell that they would get.
I think some do though. You still see that.
Do they?
And then women are so like,
what libtard snowflake shit plays on the website you see this shit at? Because I have not seen this.
I saw it on men are also women.news.uk. .co.uk/Canada. That's where I saw that on, so I believe it.
Okay.
Because it's on the internet. I saw a link to it on Breitbart. So I was like, they're fair and balanced. They're providing the other side. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Fox News is no longer fair and balanced.
Have they ever been?
I don't think so, but that was their slogan for a while.
And they finally dropped
it? They finally dropped that slogan. I don't know what in favor for.
That's crazy.
But they are no longer fair and balanced.
They dropped it in favor of...
Trump News!
Yeah, long lived our supreme leader is what's going on over there. Guys, let's talk about some movie stuff. And to do that, we're going to start with the streaming pick of the week. Not the Netflix pick of the week, but the streaming pick of the week. So here's that theme song.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
How many do I take on?
One.
This one.
This one?
Yeah. This one's being clingy to me.
Sometimes the picks of the week choose you, Pedro. You think you're picking it, but it's picking you. That's the nature of the randomizer 9000. Point one upgraded to include not only Netflix, but Amazon and Hulu and Crackle and other services as well. Pedro, go ahead and let everyone know what is this week's movie and service.
This comes courtesy of Amazon Prime.
Okay.
It is The Cutting Edge.
Oh, right. Nice. The Cutting Edge.
Is this the bear movie?
No, that's just The Edge.
Okay.
The Cutting Edge is... This fits into nothing about this time of year, which makes it very hysterical. It's starring D.B. Sweeney, ice skating.
Oh, it's an ice skating movie!
Yes, and Moira Kelly, I believe.
Not Moira Kelly.
She looks...
Is it Moira, Sarah Moira? Sarah?
No. Drew, can you look up The Cutting Edge?
It's not on there anymore, Chris.
The Cutting Edge isn't on a...
Only The Cutting Edge, Fire Nights. Oh, hang on. Here we go. God, I hate this fucking thing.
Yeah, the website's a little annoying. We use justwatch.com.
Oh, no. Nope. Sorry. Not on there anymore.
It's not on there anymore?
Try again. Boo.
Oh, wait, but hold up.
But yes, ice skating movie.
It's an ice skating movie.
But what's the name of the chick?
Oh, what's the name of the chick, then?
Of the chick, Moira Kelly.
Moira Kelly. Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
She was so sexy.
And it was an ice skating movie in which a dude hurts himself. He's a pro hockey player, hurts himself, but he gets a gig as a professional ice skater.
Yeah.
Ends up going to the Olympics. They have to do this crazy move. It's a love story. It's a rom-com, sort of.
What year was this on?
Like 90.
92.
Okay, because 92. This was the... prototypical 80s movie.
But yes. In 92.
Yeah, so but it was like everything distilled down, but then in the setting, in the world of like ice skating.
Yes. He was a promising football player.
Yeah, and she was she's a stuck-up bitch. But together,
his knee injury caused him to give up his dream.
Her attitude cost her prospective partners. But they teach each other to be better people and et cetera, et cetera, at The Cutting Edge. They made like three or four.
The Tackling Belay.
Terrible sequels, direct-to-video sequels as
well.
All
right, here we go.
I'm disappointed that it wasn't The Cutting Edge. That would have been a fun one. Here we go. What is it?
This one comes courtesy of El Netflix.
All right.
It's Lo and Behold, Reveries of a Connected World.
That is for sure on there. That is for sure on there. Lo and Behold.
Some deep shit, because I've never heard of this.
It's Werner Herzog.
It's Werner Herzog.
That's why.
German filmmaker made a documentary about the internet. He was commissioned.
It's so weird.
Actually, what happened was he was commissioned by a company called NetScout to make essentially a commercial, like a short film for them that would be a commercial for their company. But then someone came up with the idea of, how about we just have them do a documentary about the internet? And then it's NetScout Presents. And it's not even a commercial for us, it's just something about the internet. The thing about Werner Herzog is a 70-year-old, I think, gentleman at this point. He hasn't he used a telephone for the first time at the age of 17. He currently like doesn't even have an email. He barely does the internet, so he rarely knows what the internet is.
So for him to do a documentary on it is fascinating.
And he's already the type of dude who has very meta, deep questions about stuff.
Yes.
So he has crazy questions.
But Werner Herzog he has one of the funniest roles in. He did a poker movie.
I'm sure.
Which.
Ray Romano is in it.
Was that not the one? I'm thinking of one with Sylvester Stallone.
No. This is a comedy. Really? A comedy. And he's known as the German.
Yes! I remember the marketing for that.
He checks in into a hotel room. And they go, sir, no animals at the hotel. He goes, they won't be here long.
No. That is Werner Herzog.
And he's crossed over into pop culture in that way, too, where he uses his accents and people use his voice. He's on The Boondocks, The Simpsons, Rick and Morty. He's done a whole bunch of cartoons and stuff. Without even knowing what these things are.
He thought The Simpsons was the newspaper.
The Grand.
He was the bad guy in Jack Reacher.
He's a bad guy in Jack Reacher. He had like six fingers.
Yeah, he was the bad guy in that Grizzly movie, too.
The Grizzly Man?
He was the documentary.
He was the bad man in that one. Because he's the only one that had the audio of us being able to hear this guy get mauled to death.
No, he watched it. And then in the movie, you watch him watching it and you hear the audio of it.
Such a fucking evil dude.
What a hog.
He's not evil. He just...
I guarantee you,
he was watching it. He's like, even making the movie, he's like, this motherfucker's gonna die, and I'm gonna film it. This motherfucker's gonna die,
No, he was dead already. It was the guy's own footage that he watched. Herzog didn't film it, but he watched the guy's footage.
He cut the movie to be placed it together.
Yeah, and then he edited this, and then he shot the scene of him watching
how
the footage.
How hard do you think he was while he was editing this movie?
I'm not sure. I think he might be asexual.
This is possibly my greatest work ever. He might be asexual. Yeah, he might just want to fuck his movies.
I mean, in all the documentaries,
he doesn't give off. Well, actually, no, when he was younger, he gave off a vitality. He seemed like a man who enjoyed a rigorous role. And a good drink and a good fuck when he was younger. Werner Herzog is a crazy dude, and he made a documentary about the internet, and it's, I don't want to say weird, but it goes to some weird places. He asked a bunch of computer scientists if they thought the internet dreams of itself, and they're like, huh, and they think about it and they give very smart answers, very interesting answers. So a very weird question, and it's well made.
Think my toaster dreams?
Maybe.
Does it dream of itself? Like war dreams of itself. Does the internet dream of itself? That type of...
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the full title? Lo and Behold...
Reveries of a Connected World.
Reveries of a Connected World. It's worth it, man. It's good stuff. Werner Herzog. Round of applause for Werner Herzog. Good job. That's your stream pick of the week. Thank you. Otherwise, if you can find The Cutting Edge out there, you can watch that as well. That's a weird 1-2 punch. Let's get into the box office recap for the weekend. That means we're talking about that money. Let's do that top five. Drew, what's number five?
Number five starts at number seven. We're starting at number seven.
Number five starts at number seven?
Number five starts at number seven. Number five is number seven.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, it was that bad it dropped.
It's the way it works.
That's the way it works.
Number seven this week. Making $8.04 million, Rough Night.
Interesting. Now, an $8 million opening weekend on other weekends would get you in the top five, if not even top three. So that just shows you it's the summer. It's a tough weekend. $8 million gets you a seven. That's crazy. And also, I expected to make more money.
I thought so too. Yeah,
I was expecting at least 15.
Yeah,
at least 15. The popular people.
I would think,
simple premise.
Yeah, at least I thought it would be at top three. Because it's a comedy.
I was no. At the very least, I was expecting a top three opening weekend, around $15 million.
Not when you got a superhero movie, a kids movie, and a
biopic.
And a biopic in the run.
Yeah, there's a big kids movie came out this weekend.
Yeah, big kids movie.
The Tupac movie?
Yeah, man. Kids love that Tupac.
Dude.
And it's a sequel, too. Everyone loved Pac. Here comes Tupac as the anticipated sequel. Pac in a couple years is going to break records. Just you wait.
And then what? Eventually, we'll get to X-Pac?
No, then they do the reboot.
What's number 4 to 6 or whatever? However you work your decimal system, Drew.
Well, first, we
have to talk about Rough Night because it's the only movie we saw this weekend.
We saw Rough Night. We went and saw
it. Oh, you saw Rough Night?
Yeah, we went and saw Rough Night.
Oh, how was that?
It wasn't bad.
I thought it was good.
See, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, not bad.
I didn't say it was good. I just said it wasn't bad.
It was good. Yeah, no.
There's a difference.
Yeah, but I didn't say it was good.
No.
I said, it was good.
My voice
went
bad.
My voice went up.
It's not bad.
That's a different type of good. If I said it was good, that's like, oh, go see it. It's good. But I said, it's good.
It's good. Not bad.
That means, reservations.
Yeah, the tone. Yeah, once you throw pitch in, it's like,
yes. Pitch. Yeah. Pitch is risk. Important. It's hard to convey pitch via text message or written review. How do you go, that's what you do, the sub sun emoji, where it's like the big smiley face with the arms up. It's good.
Yeah, I prefer that than, go see it.
Yeah.
Don't bother.
No, yeah. Go see it for yourself.
Go see it. I hate don't bother.
Or don't bother.
On top of that. Don't bother. It's like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, so dismissive. Yeah. Let me make a moment, especially when it comes to a comedy. That's the thing. Yeah. We were in a pretty full theater. It seemed the audience skewed younger and definitely female, which is obvious.
Well, I mean, that's their target demographic.
Do you guys pay attention to the audience?
Yeah, definitely.
Especially when it fills up like that. Yeah, okay. On certain movies. I love seeing the audience make up when I went and saw Drive. On opening night.
Yeah, that was fun.
A full theater, a lot of like young chicks, Ryan Gosling fans, not really know what they're getting into.
They did not get a Ryan Gosling movie. They got a Nicholas Winding Refn movie.
Yeah.
Those poor girls.
They were there for the kissy-kissy scenes, but they had to sit through the head stomping scene.
Yes, the head stomping and the Christina Hendricks head exploding with shotgun.
Shotgun head explosions. Yeah. Well, it was good times. None of that happens in Rough Night, though. Rough Night is a kind of a fun plot, but it also feels like we did a whole spoiler-filled bonus episode. We talked about this movie for 30 minutes. People can check that out if they don't care about spoilers or details. We're going to do this spoiler-free. But it does feel like a second or third draft of a movie.
Is this the Jon Favreau movie where they killed that porn star?
Very Bad Things. Yeah. That's kind of what we were expecting.
That's what I was thinking. It's what we were thinking was going to happen. Very Bad Things with ladies.
We were expecting that level of darkness and craziness.
It was still. It still went for the comedy.
It went
for the comedy, but it went for the funny ha-ha as opposed to the dark comedy.
It is halfway between Very Bad Things and Weekend at Bernie's. Yes. It is a Weekend at Very Bad Things is what it is. It is very, very bad Bernie's.
Okay.
If I say Very Bad Bernie's,
Very Bad Bernie's. Like a Bernie, because Sanders, it's not like any of the main characters, like, you know, off each other. It's not like Very Bad Things where they all end up killing each other.
How did the audience respond to...
They seem to like it. That's what I was saying. When I was saying comedy is subjective, while Drew and I were both, there were a couple times we were like,
So it might be a little...
There's more laughter going on around us.
Could be a lot of gun-shy people out there that didn't want to throw the money in there, and then word will get around, and then...
It's depending on their friends, yeah.
I'm sure it'll do fine when it goes on rental. You know, everybody who's afraid to go see it with their dude friends can get it at home and watch it by themselves.
Once it goes to the Dollar Theater, you know...
Dollar Theater is a good spot to see the 75-cent Tuesdays.
Yeah, keep to that theme of females not getting the equal pay as regular films.
Yeah, they continue to get that fraction of what a man's movie gets. Exactly. Yeah,
well, you know, if
that's the way it should be, goddammit.
I mean, when a bunch of ladies can throw me an Inception, then I'll start getting the big bucks.
Well, you got to give them the resources to give you an Inception. That's all. Well, there's a woman out there with an Inception in her.
I hope so.
But then she goes to a studio and she's like, I need $150 million. And they're like, you have a vagina. Get out of my office. Like, why are you British all of a sudden?
It's a lot of people. Like, people are probably still risk
adverse.
No, they're still, oh my God, I can't even think of the word. That's how scramble my head is.
Well, you did just get out of surgery 2 hours ago.
Yeah. But they pretty much still hate Kate McKinnon for Ghostbusters remake.
For some reason, they hated Leslie Jones more. I wonder why. Oh, God, she's black. So Rough Night was okay. We saw it.
It was good.
Drew said it's not bad. I said it's okay. Drew says it's not bad. It's somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah. It's a lot of pitch.
It could have been better. A lot of pitch. There's a lot of pitch.
If they would have stuck to one story as opposed to kind of scattering it around the way they did.
There's like four subplots going on. They didn't develop them enough. They could have stuck to something. The thing is, it's from the creators of Broad City, the writers and directors of Broad City, and I really like Broad City. Maybe they work better in 22-minute bursts.
Who knows?
Sometimes, that Key and Peele movie that Keanu had in.
I think that's a matter of mismarketing. I think people went into it expecting it to be a movie about black masculinity as opposed to a movie about a kitten, then they would have been.
expectation is a big
yeah,
deal.
Yeah, I was hoping more Cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I think everybody
I
was
expecting more Cat and silliness. Like, and I got the Key and Peele movie, which is, yes, an exploration of what does it mean to be a black man in America, which is, in the suburbs versus
it's
city.
Weird. It's
and,
which is fine,
yeah.
But it's not what I went for.
I wasn't in the commercials.
Yeah. Yeah. One movie, not enough pussy. This other movie, too much pussy.
There you go.
It didn't work out.
The pussy ratio is very important in these days. You gotta get just right, especially in Trump's America, because that's how do you know what to grab and what not to grab?
Correct.
It needs the right amount of pussy. Mm-hmm. There we go. It's getting really getting political.
So
Rough Night it is what it is, unfortunately. What's number five?
47 Meters Down.
Oh, that's another one.
Made $11.5 million.
Shark fucking movie.
Shut up.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. How much did it cost to make? Does it have a budget?
Doesn't have a budget.
Probably
$32 and a GoPro.
Exactly. Totally, dude. It looked super cheap. Can you look up the Rotten Tomatoes? I'm wondering how much the score is, what the general review of that one is, because the trailers looked
awful.
Not good. Like The Shallows, the marketing was good in The Shallows, and that movie was actually pretty cool. Did you ever see that one with Blake Lively?
No,
it was seriously, I never thought I would.
It's a pretty
I never thought I would say I would A, like a dumb shark movie with Blake Lively in it, but I do.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's quite good up until the very end.
It does the 10-15 minute character intro, say the story. You're just like, all right, it's like it's serviceable, and then the shark is introduced,
and then it's fucking crazy,
and then it's like a solid movie for an hour, and then it has kind of a dopey ending.
It's just open water in a fucking shark tank to me.
No, it's prettier because open water was that all at night.
I think so.
That was low budget.
No, open this water. Open water was the one that during the day that goes at night.
Oh, it is during the day.
And then open water two.
They're just stuck up. There's not even sharks on one, right? They just fall off the boat and they can't get back
on. And there's a baby on the yacht and they can't get on.
That's so stupid. Yeah. I thought that was dumb as fuck. When it comes to killer shark movies, The Shallows is surprisingly good. Because really, think about it. When it comes to killer shark movies, how many good ones are there?
Jaws.
There's the one.
Jaws.
There's still just the one.
The LL Cool J one.
I was about to say, you can argue for camp reasons. Deep Blue Sea. Yeah. It's a fun movie.
I mean, Deepest Bluest My Head is like a shark.
Wait, hold on. There gotta be another better shark.
No.
There isn't.
It literally goes Jaws, okay, and then it descends.
Nemo doesn't count?
No, because that's a
cartoon.
It's a clownfish movie.
Yeah.
Just because there's a shark in it doesn't make it a shark movie. No. That's a terrible movie.
Was it bad?
Yes. Yeah.
I apologize.
That's a legitimately terrible film. No, it goes like Jaws, and then Deep Blue Sea, and then like Jaws 2, and then like
Sharknado goes in there somewhere.
Sharknado, all the Sharknados, Jaws 3, yeah. Jaws 4, they're all like mixed in together. The Shallows is in there. Yeah, anyway, above there.
So 47 meters down, 54%
in the middle.
47 meters down doesn't take its terrifying premise quite as far as it should, but its toothy antagonists still offer a few thrills for less demanding genre enthusiasts.
There you go. Less demanding genre enthusiasts. That sounds like check your brain at the door excusing bullshit to me, which I hate. Hate that. So
vilifying sharks, y'all.
For real, though, actually, they're
yeah. I mean, it's an issue, but
it's amazing how many sharks we kill annually versus how many sharks.
Well, I mean, the thing is, they are the ocean's apex predator. So
are they though? No, because killer whales fuck up sharks.
I mean, they do, but still.
So that doesn't make the killer whale the fuck up?
Dolphins fuck up sharks.
They can.
They all do.
They can, right?
Yeah. They all can. They all do. They all.
Well,
fight.
I mean, yeah, we're apex predators, but yes, a barrel will still fuck us up.
Correct, because it is also an apex predator.
Okay. So there's a level of apex. No. There's a bunch. Well, then what's the apex predator?
I mean, us. Jellyfish. We are. We have jumped out of the animal kingdom, at least in our own heads.
Yeah.
Through technology, we've become the top dog.
All right,
is there a good jellyfish movie out there that killed it? Like,
no, but there are movies with good jellyfish scene. There's one specifically that someone had to. I think it's actually was it Finding Dory?
Yes, it was.
This is a great jellyfish scene. Finding Dory.
Yes.
Damn. That was number four. It's number three. That was number five.
That was number five. What's number four, The Mummy made $13.9 million.
How many weeks?
For a total of 56.
Second week. Only the second week. We reviewed this last week, and we were like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean,
it's pretty kind of a little disappointing. I wanted to be better.
There's not enough mummy.
Not enough.
It shouldn't
mummy.
Even be called The Mummy.
And the action was pretty disappointing considering it's a Tom Cruise action movie.
Number three this week.
Number three.
All Eyes on Me.
Tupac.
Weekend gross at $27 million.
Wow.
I heard that the guy that played Biggie in Notorious is the same guy playing Biggie in this movie, too.
Really?
Is it? I didn't see Notorious. I'm not going to watch this.
Does that make this then a shared universe movie, Notorious, and then All Eyes Will Be, and then they team up together and they do like an Avengers
in the afterlife?
Yo!
The afterlife rap Avengers. So, cast them right now. Cast your afterlife rap Avengers.
Okay, well, obviously we got Biggie from Notorious and this and Fat Face Tupac.
Eazy-E, of course.
Jason Mitchell as Eazy-E. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then we need Bruce Campbell. Elvis,
okay,
because they gotta be like, why are you stealing black music? And uh-huh. Go, oh, I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Geriatric Elvis.
And then we got Steve Buscemi as Buddy Holly.
Done.
That's your hip hop Avengers.
I would go Busey would.
Oh, Busey! Yeah.
Busey was the original Buddy Holly.
Yeah, he was in the movie.
It just had Busey crazy as fuck.
That'd be awesome.
I was just thinking Buscemi as the Buddy Holly waiter in Pulp Fiction, where he's like, "How about you, Peggy Sue?" all right, there you go. Hip hop Avengers. We've cast it. We went three
hip hops and then two old school rock and roll.
It's gonna be a great movie, guys. Trust me. I know what I'm doing here. This is gonna be fantastic. We didn't see All Eyes on Me. What's the? Can you check the RT? It wasn't too well reviewed. I'm seeing a lot of stuff where they're saying it's a type of biopic. Like the greatest hits of a biopic.
What is Media Takeout giving it?
what is World Star Hip Hop giving?
Oh, it's only 24% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that is not good. Ooh. That is not good. Why? Boring, generic.
Despite Demetrius Shipp Jr.'s fine lead performance, All Eyes on Me is mostly a surface skimming by the numbers biopic of a larger than life icon.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
I mean,
even at two hours and 20 minutes, it doesn't give Tupac enough.
I mean, every single shot from that movie looks like they took all the famous photos of Tupac, and then that's going to be your costume.
Yeah. It looks very. Here's the greatest hits of his life, and there's no nuance. And then Jada Pinkett Smith put out a bunch of tweets,
so angry
about how the portrayal of her and her relationship to him was like everything was false about it, and she was like, "This never happened, that never happened." I feel like it's a bunch of bullshit. No disrespect to the actors, but fuck that. And fuck this movie.
Number two.
And I'm like, damn, Jada.
Yeah, I gotta ask my black friends what they thought about the movie.
Yeah, you do.
SBK thought it was okay, but he also thought it was very sad to see how a 2 hour and 20 minute movie couldn't do a Tupac movie, Tupac story justice. I don't think it's the fact that it's the length. I think it's just poorly
told. That's how they did it. Yeah.
I mean, they told the NWA story in 2 hours and 20 minutes. It was straight out of Compton.
Yeah.
That movie's fucking great.
It is.
Yeah. The movie is great. So
Notorious is not bad.
Is it really?
It's not bad.
I never saw that one.
Number two this week.
But that one also looked like All Eyes on Me, where it looked cheap. Like, they're underselling Biggie, you know? Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. We can gross $48.7 million. Total of $274 domestic.
3 weeks in, almost $50 million.
We got $297 foreign.
Total of?
$571.
Very good for Wonder Woman. 3 weeks in for it to almost at $50 million on its third weekend. That's the word of mouth, like you were talking about before. People telling other people, you should go see this, you'll like it.
It's the best of the new DC movies.
Of all the new DC movies, it's the best one.
I have not seen it.
If you've seen any of the new Superman movies or Batman vs. Superman or any of that bullshit,
yeah,
it's garbage compared to this.
Yeah, you might as well. If you've seen those, you might as well see Wonder Woman
because
it's the better one of all. Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Suicide Squad, garbage.
It's so much better than Suicide
Squad. Yeah, it's so much better than all that shit.
You know what I heard? I read maybe one of the reasons why it's so well reviewed and people are liking it. They went into this movie like knowing what they wanted to do, and they did not alter from the very beginning. Meaning that they had their script, and as they were making the movie, there was like no
good.
Very few script alterations.
Oh, they took no notes from the executives?
Maybe they took their notes, but it was done before they put out the cameras and they were like, action. They had everything in place on day one, and then when they edited the movie, Patty Jenkins was like, this is the movie we envisioned from the beginning.
We need more titty shots. No, we're not doing titty shots.
She's still very alluring and sexy in this movie without there being gratuitous.
Yes. Actually, she was pregnant. She was pregnant during this movie.
Only for one scene. She was 5 months pregnant. Oh. Yeah.
Only for one?
Yeah.
Because she talked about
it. Was for a reshoot. And she was wearing like a trench coat. It's a scene where they're in the trenches. They first get to the trenches. Mm-hmm. And she's
She said that there's a lot of the fighting ones that she was pregnant.
Really?
Yeah. She was talking. There's a lot of CGI. That's why you see a lot of...
Well, at the time, she becomes a straight-up CG character.
Those Israeli chicks, I mean, everybody gets conscripted in the army for a certain amount of time over there.
Yeah, every
so,
year. First in one of those countries. Mm-hmm. South Korea is another one of those countries. You're in it for 2 years. Like, mm-hmm. God damn it.
No matter what.
USA. So we've reviewed this already. We did a spoiler review. We both like it. Pedro, it's pretty good. If you've seen all those other ones, it's worth checking out. Keep your expectations low. That'll help.
I'll probably go see it tomorrow.
That'll help. Yeah, that's good.
My last day.
take Cricket.
Yeah, I'll take the Cricket.
Yeah, she'll love it. Probably. Especially when it opens up in the Island of the Xenas.
Yes.
Actually, when it opens up in the Island of the Xenas, you may be like, this is cheesy. Did you like Xena Warrior Princess?
Because it's a lot of Warrior Princesses.
Because when it first starts up, it has a very strong Xena Warrior Princess vibe. And then it gives way a little bit to Game of Thronesy when they start talking about like politics of their world. But then like it starts getting more and more Wonder Woman-y. And then by the end of the movie, it's just like straight up Wonder Woman.
All right.
Oh, number one this week.
Number one.
Cars 3. Made a weekend gross $53.5 million.
Yes. Yep. How much?
53.5.
That's good for your typical animated film. That's great for your typical animated movie. For a Pixar movie, that's a little low. Their movies often open around like 70, 80, or 90. Even Toy Story 3 opened to
Toy Story, not Cars. This is one of their, in my eyes, this is one of their lesser franchises, and I cannot believe we've gotten to a number three.
As a matter of fact, I think it's, for many people, it is like the lesser of the Pixars. And the reason we've gotten to a third one, they're made at all.
I don't even remember two.
That's the international spy one where they made the cars like a James Bond movie. Yeah, exactly.
That's why.
John Lasseter, who's like one of the head honchos over there, Cars is his baby. So that's why these movies get made, because he's like pretty much in charge. So what he wants goes.
Awesome.
So that's why we got three of them. All right, there you go. Let's talk about new movies coming out on DVD. Only one new movie coming out on DVD this week. That is Life, the sci-fi movie Life that we saw earlier this year. Remember that one?
Yeah.
That's all right. It's fun. It's got a cool ending. Interesting Twilight Zone ending.
A refreshing ending.
A refreshing ending for that type of movie. It starts out kind of ponderous and pretentious, but the way it ends up going, I think it works overall. Do you remember the trailers for that one? The Jake Gyllenhaal?
Bootleg Alien?
Bootleg Alien. Yes, it's Bootleg Alien, but it does have its own agenda and its own thing going, and it works. When I saw it in the theater, I was like, oh, this
movie
actually is
pretty good. It's a lot of bootleg movies. Like that Belko experiment, it's like bootleg Battle Royale.
I wanted that to be so much better than it was.
Oh, God, yeah.
It ended up being
Battle Royale Light.
Unimaginative.
Really?
I felt, yeah.
They could have had so much fun with that movie.
I thought it was going to be like, yeah, Battle Royale in the office. They're using office supplies to kill each other.
Think about it. Yeah. Anybody that's working a 9-to-5, everybody at one point or another has sized up somebody and be like, I will
All right, so I'm going to go with the stapler. Yeah. And then after that, over to the copy machine.
Yeah. You rip off the blade arm on the paper slicer. Yep.
If it was 97, yes. Yep. It depends where you worked. Yeah. As well, because there are a lot of places that have no need for that thing.
We still got one of those. So that's what's coming out on DVD. Life. What's coming out in theaters, Drew?
In theaters this week, we've got Transformers: The Last Knight.
There you go. can't wait for this to come out so we can finally stop seeing the trailer. Literally, you've seen the trailer in front of every single movie, no matter the movie.
No, Optimus, you gotta stop.
No matter what the movie is. What else is coming out?
The Big Sick.
That's that Kumail Nanjiani, Emily Gordon movie that they co-wrote and who directed? Showalter. Michael Showalter.
Correct.
He of what's the this? State.
Big
and
Sick?
The Big Sick. Kumail Nanjiani, right? The comedian.
Yeah.
And he's married to this chick, Emily Gordon. They co-wrote a movie that is pretty much, I think, in many ways about their relationship. Kumail plays a character named Kumail.
Okay.
Zoe Bell?
Kazan.
Zoe Kazan plays a character named Emily.
Okay.
And it's about how they met up and they're dating. And but then like his Pakistani family is like, we want to do the arranged marriage thing. He's like, but I like this white girl, blah, blah, blah. But then she gets sick and she's in a coma. Like right around they break up, she gets sick. He's trying to be there for her. Ray Romano plays the father of the girl of Emily. Holly Hunter?
Yes.
Is the mother
of Kumai?
Of that'd be awesome. No, no, he has very traditional Pakistani.
You cannot marry him with the fucking lisp.
Actually, I've seen the trailer for this a couple times. And it looks pretty good for being a rom com. It looks good. It looks solid. No, I like Kumail.
Always. No fucking Transformer: The Last Knight. God, but okay,
gotta see that fucking thing. What else is coming out?
The Beguiled.
The Beguiled is the new Sofia Coppola.
Looks fucking so creepy.
It looks really creepy, actually. Colin Farrell's a Union soldier. Comes across an all-girls like boarding school or something.
During the Civil War.
Oh, it's not in the future.
It's not in the future. Oh, that'd be awesome in the future. It's set in 2075. and it's an all-girls school. And it's like Nicole Kidman's there, Kirsten Dunst, and Dakota? He teaches them how to fuck. He teaches them how to love.
I'm pretty sure he teaches them all those things. But at the end, I'm sure it does not end well for him.
And at the end...
I'm pretty sure he dies.
It all
he dies. And then one girl just carries on his wisdom.
Maybe. And her name is Sofia Coppola.
Yeah.
What else is coming out?
The Bad Bitch.
The Bad Bitch? No,
Bad Batch.
Bad Batch, yeah. The Bad Batch. No one's released a movie called The Bad Bitch. The Bad Batch is Anna Lily Amirport. Did you ever see A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, black and white vampire movie? Came out a couple years ago. Pretty crazy little indie film. Made a lot of waves in the film world when it came out, and it's good.
This is not that vampire movie, Don't Let Me In or something like that.
No, that's different. That's Swedish. This is this chick is
Danish. Different.
Yeah, no. Well, this one.
She's from
Amirpour. She's from California, but her background, she's like Iranian, I think, or Pakistani.
Pakistani fucking vampire movie.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. Yeah, it has because the vampire chicks walk around with it looks like a burqa. It's really like, you know, it's like she's the vampire, but it looks like she's wearing a burqa type thing, and it's really solid, really well made. It's kind of like it's good stuff. And the Bad Batch is about a girl, an amputee chick, played by Suki Waterhouse from what's that show? The vampire show.
Suki?
On
fucking True Blood?
I think so. Anyway.
Suki.
And maybe that's not her. And her and Aquaman.
Yes.
Momoa. They're going through a cannibal wasteland. For some reason, Jim Carrey's in the movie playing a cannibal at some point.
Keanu Reeves in the
Time out. When did Jason Momoa lose Khal Drogo and it's now Aquaman? Is that now?
Yeah, he's Aquaman.
He's been Aquaman for a while.
No, I know, but Stallone is fucking Rambo.
But he's also,
you know what,
or is he Rocky?
He's also Rocky.
Or Rocky. Yeah, but it's like.
Yeah. No, Khal Drogo was too short-lived.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so now he's
Aquaman's way more that people Aquaman are going to see Aquaman than they'll see season one of Game of Thrones. Well, it'll be good. We'll see.
I unplugged myself.
Oh, yeah, they're trying to get a good director for Aquaman. They're looking to land themselves like a Robert Zemeckis or a Sam Raimi or some crazy shit like that. They're shooting for the moon on that one. All right, so that's what's coming out in theaters. Thank you, Drew. I appreciate that.
Very welcome, Chris.
All right, let's do Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Where is that button? Here we go.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew, your prescription for life. Take it away, Dr. Drew.
Well, I mean, Chris, it's a holiday, so I just wanted to say happy Motherfuckers Day to all the motherfuckers out there.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Cogburn out.
That's it. Happy Motherfuckers Day, everyone. Here we go. Crespo Disco time. Let's take a break. I grabbed... have you seen the trailer for Atomic Blonde?
No.
Charlize Theron?
No.
I'm going to go put that up on the TV right now.
They put it up on the TV? Oh, shit. Hey, you go ahead and do that. I'll let everyone know. Well, I'm going to play... There's a song that they use in the trailer called Personal Jesus, and it's a mashup of Personal Jesus and Black Skinhead, and it works really good in the trailer. So I'm just going to go ahead and play that for the Crespo Disco here. It's a mashup song. You'll watch the trailer real quick. Drew's going to pull it up. Yeah. It's a really cool trailer, and it's from one of the guys who made John Wick. So it has a very John Wick vibe.
Okay.
But with a chick.
I was kind of like worried it was going to be more sucker punchy.
No, it's more. It's very John, it's John Wick-y. So we'll check out this trailer. We'll come back. We'll hear what Pedro has to say about it. You guys listen to the song. And then we're going to wrap up with the second half of the show of Cinema Crespedista.
Thieves on, mark my leather black jeans on, mark my riding knees on.
What's the fuss?
Hey, Etchy, shouldn't we have done a Cinema Crespediso commercial by now?
Shouldn't we have? Yes, we should have, yeah.
Bill, yep. why didn't we do that?
I don't know. Etchy, why didn't we do that?
I didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
No,
oh,
I didn't
shit.
Do that.
Don't Bill? Look at me. I don't have any ideas. I hate commercials.
Let's play a clip then. I just got a letter from the police.
Dear Rocky, yeah. Thank you so much for your annual donation of $12 and one sign that said GFY. We can only imagine because of your generous contribution that stands for good for you. Sincerely, Police Department.
A product of radio.
I told Drew and Chris that I'd write them a song. I broke out my guitar, it didn't take long. They talked directors and actors and factor in a funky blend of film nerd stuff and box office weekends. Oh, oh, oh.
Cinema
Crespediso with Chris and Drew.
Cinema
Crespediso,
settle back
and enjoy the news and views.
To the movies we go with Chris Crespo and Drew.
Hello, Cinema Crespediso listeners. This is Chris from BYOCB, the podcast where we drink, we laugh, we drink, inviting you to join myself and my co-host Alex as we take you out of a studio environment and into different environments that revolve around enjoying a few adult beverages with your friends. Check out our stuff at BYOCBShow.com or give us a follow on Twitter at BYOCBShow.
Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men.
You're us.
Oh shit, I forgot to pull the app first. Here we go. Hey, welcome back. We're doing episode 232. This is like a release of Rollercoaster Transformer. I'm just going to make a name again.
What?
How you doing?
What? What do you want?
A response. What's up, guys? We are back. We're doing the second half of the show. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419 all over the internet.
Very good. Pedro, where can people find you?
Twitter at Rican Gorilla.
Nice. Have anything to promote? Anything to plug? Anything you want people to do?
Nothing. I've been enjoying recovering from multiple surgeries.
Well, there you go. All right. You can hit up the show at CrespoDiso on Twitter. Facebook is Cinema Crespediso. Instagram is Cinema Crespediso. Orlando Weekly Awards are coming up, Pedro. You can vote Cinema Crespediso for best burger in town.
Best burger in town?
Best burger in town. That's us right here. I meant to plug this last week and I forgot, so I had to write it down. And I would have forgot again if I didn't write it down.
Okay.
That's why I write shit down. I have my you notes. I did an episode of Scotch and Good Conversation. Have you heard of that show, Pedro?
I've heard of it, yes.
Peter is the host of that show. Peter Von Taborski, PVT, I call him. He's a good guy. He actually was here back in February. I think like episode 200 something, I can't remember. And he's a cool dude, he's got a good show. I went over there, I did episode 88 that came out last week.
Okay.
I think they're up to 89 now. So people can go ahead and check out episode 88. Hung out for an hour and a half and did some day drinking.
Talk
some
actual
shit.
Scotch?
He does keep a bottle of scotch right there by the table with two clean glasses, and it's up to the guests as to whether or not to engage in the scotch drinking. It just sits there, and some guests, because I listen to a show, I've heard a few episodes, some people reach out for the bottle and pour some shots and pour some drinks. Some people do not.
Out of fear.
Yeah, out of fear. It is like 2 in the afternoon, but I'm sitting there drinking my OBP squared.
You're in the show Scotch and Good Conversation.
The show's called Scotch and Good Conversation. And Well, I'm drinking my it's good beer, though.
Did you have, and I also did
brought,
have scotch?
I brought beer for him. No, I'm sitting. The scotch was sitting there. But I'm still bringing my beer. I'm sipping my beer. And then halfway through the show, I poured a couple of shots of scotch. And I slid the glass over to him, and we drank the scotch halfway through.
Okay, so you did have scotch.
Yes, I made sure it happened. Okay. I sat there I was staring at the bottle the whole time. It's like the show is Scotch and Good Conversation. And it's also good in quotes, as in the conversation's, it's okay. And I'll tell you what, at that point, I was like, it's a pretty okay conversation.
Wait, were you saying, the conversation? Exactly, precisely. The scotch.
Both. Okay. But he says, he acknowledges it's a cheap bottle. It's like a $15 bottle. He also brought us a bottle when he was here. If you want to do a shot of scotch?
It's this scotch? No, I can't do
this. This is not scotch and Crespity, so no one.
I can't have any hard liquor, though. That's the fucked up part.
Oh, really? I'm all hard liquor these days. It's all vodka for me. Although the occasional OPP squared, man. Oh, it's so good. I love that stuff. It gets you drunk, Pedro.
Yeah?
It's 11% alcohol.
What is this?
OPP squared, orange blossom pilsner squared. OBP with the small tube.
Yeah.
What it is, it's like when you want to brew a double strong pot of coffee, you use half the amount of water, and it's like a more condensed, stronger coffee. Same thing with the beer. So it's like twice everything, the flavor, the alcohol, it's boosted up, it's delicious.
I'll definitely check it out.
I drink my ass off on that stuff, it's good. And it's like $10, 10 or 11 bucks depending on where you go for a 4-pack.
Yeah, it should.
It's worth. That's its value.
Drink your ass off and your gut on, buddy.
That is 100%. That's part of why I'm drinking the vodka and I'm running, but I will drink that OPP squared. So check out episode 88 of Scotch and Good Conversation. That was a lot of fun. Also, if you want stickers, free stickers, email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, and send us your address. We'll send you free stickers. Leave us an iTunes review. That'll help us out a lot. I'm doing trivia this week twice. I'm doing trivia on Tuesday at the Ocean Sun Brewery on Curry Ford at 7 p.m. Come out early. Get your table for that. That's a lot of fun. Curtis Earth Trivia, 3 rounds of that. There'll be the top 3 teams win different amounts of beer. Like the third prize team will win, like, everyone gets a free beer. Second prize team gets like 5 or 6 free beers. And the first place team wins like 10 or 15 free beers.
Oh, nice.
Stupid. And it's Ocean Sun. They got good stuff there. Good beer. On Wednesday, I'll be doing my Cork and Fork gig, my weekly Cork and Fork, Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come out for that. It's a great restaurant. Have you ever been to the Cork and Fork? It's on the east side of town.
I have not.
Conway and Hoffner, good food. It's all, farm to table, quote, fresh, extra fresh type stuff. But they make everything in-house, including the condiments. And you also have $5 sangrias on Wednesdays.
Wait, the owner is he?
He's a Turkish fellow.
Turkish, yeah. My girl is a bartender there, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Wendy.
We talked about her. We talked about you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's trying to get you to do a comedy show there.
Yeah, we talked. Yes, I got to swing by because I remember there was a comedy. Before that place became what it is.
It was like 4 different places.
Yeah. They did a comedy thing there, and it was just not
good. That's a tough part of town to do gigs in, Belle Isle.
Yeah, it's just, people got to understand, not every, just because it's a restaurant doesn't mean a comedy show belongs there.
That's true, too. Or trivia, but I'm trying to make the trivia work. I've been making it work, so you should come out, man.
I think so.
She'd appreciate
it. On a Wednesday?
This week it's Wednesday, starting in July and moving into Tuesdays.
Okay.
Because I think Tuesdays in that part of town would be easier to get people to come out. So here you go. Let's hear plugs. We got the plugs out of the way. Let's do Billy D's Death at the Movies. Billy D is our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado. He has an intro and goes like this. Where's that button? Here it is.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
All right, that's enough. There we go. You can hit up Billy D online at I Love Blood all over social media. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
I made a new friend this week who didn't know much about films or video and wanted to learn.
so we spent a day walking around in her neighborhood, shooting various street scenes, and talking about movies. It made me think about my approach to things, attempting to explain films and film techniques to someone who doesn't have the cultural references, but has the curiosity and willingness to learn. It also made me examine what I like about films, why I like the films I do, and how to share that with people. We were rained out during our trip, so we sat under a bus stop and watched some scenes from films that illustrated what we talked about. All in all, it was a fun day of learning and teaching and adventuring. The film that captured her interest the most was my description of Kill Bill, along with how it went through so many different genres. So this week, I didn't watch anything except Kill Bill, but I did use it to teach someone who hadn't really seen a Western film before the film, making and what can be possible if you think creatively. Thanks, movies. You're the best. Stay cool, Billy D.
Thank you, Billy D, with a very...
The very inspirational Billy D set the movie talking about the power of cinema. Good guy. Appreciate it. Thank you, Bill. You know what? Pedro.
Yes.
This is the show of the people. It's time for the segment of the people, which I call the voice of the people.
The voice of the
people. But in Latin.
Okay.
It's the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
Here we go. The people will chime in with reviews, suggestions, topic suggestions, and whatnot. And I believe we have an email this week that is reviews and one that's movie news. Mm-hmm. So we're going to use the movie news for the actual movie news segment. Okay. So let's just stick with the review one for now.
All right. Scott hit us up. Got a review.
Our homie Scott.
It comes at night and rough night.
It comes at night and rough night. A couple of nights. It comes out a rough night. Here we go.
It comes at night. Has there ever been a worse title for a really, really great film?
First off, Pedro, you know what this movie is? It comes at night. There's a horror film.
Wait, hold on. Oh, can I guess? Is it about a wolf?
No.
Okay.
Great guess, though, right? Yeah, it comes at night. You're thinking something supernatural.
Oh, shit, yeah. This is the door one. They're in a cabin, right?
Yes. The door.
The red door.
Yeah, so what do you think it would be with the tone of the movie? Would you still think wolf or supernatural or something like that? Or
apocalyptic, you know, something, survivors, people eating each other, cannibals.
You think we'd get that far, that crazy?
Yeah.
I'll tell you now, before we get to Scott's review, I thought it was going to like something supernatural, not necessarily vampires or wolves or something, but something comes at night and it's coming for you. Yeah. It's not like
nope.
That. It's more about a human paranoia.
What comes at night? Thing. Humans.
Yeah, what comes at night? Doubt. Doubt about the intentions Fear. Of your fellow man.
Fear.
Yeah.
Paranoia.
Very human, relatable, anxiety issues.
It's still a fucking great little twisted movie.
Very well made, very solid, but I feel like the marketing is very misleading. But it worked in terms of getting the money. But I think it's going to hurt their word of mouth, and people are going to be like, yeah, it was the movie I was expecting. But anyway, let's get the Scott's review.
I mean, the absolute worst thing about this movie is its own damn name and subsequent marketing.
Yeah, the name is brutal.
However awesome the trailers were, and they were awesome, it was clearly a ploy that ultimately misleads the audience and screws it all up.
Honestly.
But there's no animal, there's no...
Nothing, no.
But everything else about this movie is damn near perfection. I love the cinematography and set designs. The very big house in the woods, seemingly painfully small and claustrophobic. It's never lit by more than a lantern, so there are countless rooms and corridors and passageways that we never really get a full look at, and there are so many odd architectural lines and angles built into the set.
Hmm.
The house feels like a maze, obviously by design. The house itself is practically a character in the movie. And the cast are all terrific. All are convincingly in survival mode, playing nice until everything inevitably goes bad. And damn, does it go bad, really bad. If you just forget about what it is and focus on the gut-wrenching humanity of the story, this is easily one of the best films of this year so far. I mean, wow, this is a 4-star film, but that damn title, though. 3.5 out of 4 stars.
Just a guy with a star. He said a lot of things we were saying about how the title is... weird, misleading marketing. Don't focus on the it, which is what we were just saying. What is the it? Don't focus on the it. Focus on the rest of the movie. It's a good movie. I have to agree with Scott. Scott's actually, he's speaking the truth there.
So
it's a well-made movie. It's solid.
Let's do the Rough Night thing, and then we'll do Chicago vs. the World.
Okay, go ahead. Sure.
That would be confusing.
All right, let's read that Rough Night review and get the Vox Pop Y done.
You can't try to be Bridesmaids and Very Bad Things. You have to pick one.
Angel put up his arms like, this is what I was saying, man.
Be funny or be dark. It's almost impossible to do both in the same film. That's what my thinking was when I first saw the Rough Night trailer, and yet somewhere in the deepest recesses of my twisted brain, I still held out hope that maybe somehow they might pull it off. Nope. Rough Night is a middling, non-committal movie. The funny parts aren't funny enough, and the dark parts aren't dark enough. And it's exceedingly clear that the onset, that they were always leaning towards funny. So the whole endeavor just never works the way I'd hoped it would. It's doomed to fail. Sure, there were a few good laughs. That's exactly what you do not want to hear about a comedy with summer blockbuster hopes.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I thought the male sub-stories were funnier than most of the leading female storylines.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked how so many of the movie's best jokes were Florida skewering. Our state is a special kind of fucked. 2.5 out of 4 stars.
They shit on Florida. They do. Rough Night, Pedro.
They do.
They shit on with factual facts. Stories.
They shit on us with facts.
They'd be like, this story happened and that story happened. But one of them was import crazy anyway. We talk about that in our spoiler review. We're going to do, thank you. First off, Scott, thank you for the reviews. I have to agree with everything he said. He definitely is speaking truth this week. Thank you, sir. That's your Vox Populi. Juicy Cochran versus the World. Drew wasn't here last week. He was gone on assignment. Our guest co-host was Simon Time, Trivia Master. Simon Time. Our guest was Curtis Earth.
Trivia Wizard.
Trivia Meister, right? Me as a quiz smith with Simon Time and Curtis Earth. I was like, I got to do a very special Juicy Cochran versus the World for the trivia. So I did, Drew, I didn't tell you, I think, what I ended up doing, a full round, 10 questions.
No, you told me, you talked about it.
I told you what I was going to do, but I did it. A full round of Curtis Earth-style movie trivia, all 10 questions. It came down to a 1-point difference between the two of them. Curtis Earth ended up winning, Drew, I'm sorry, which puts your record at 9-7.
Mm-hmm.
So Drew is 9-7 this year. But Drew, I felt bad. I didn't want you to feel left out, not having to experience how fun that was. So,
oh great! So get ready for a fucking full round, buddy.
So guys, if you don't know, no, hold on. First off,
I don't think we have time for a full round.
Your answer sheet. Here's your answer sheet.
Oh shit! Come on, man. We gotta do this quick.
Wait,
here's a pen.
I have a pen.
Here's a pen.
What are we doing?
Write an answer. Write your team name on the top of each pen sheet. Write your team name.
Hi,
guys. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a half round of movie trivia with Chris Crespo, subsidiary of Curtis Earth Trivia. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. We're going to do 5 questions of movie trivia, and the questions have different point values. We'll go over that as we go over the questions. So I'm going to ask you 5 questions. I already skipped to the next one. Oh, there you go. I'm going to ask you 5 questions. You write them down in the answer sheet I gave to you, and then we're going to pass the sheets back and forth. 40 answers. It'll be self-explanatory as we go along. Mm-hmm. Are you guys ready for some movie trivia?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Question number 1. It starts off very easy. This is a 1-point question. 1 point. Martin Scorsese was born in what year? 1932, 1942, or 1952? Martin Scorsese was born in what year? 32, 42, or 52? If you're playing at home, go ahead and write the answers down. Keep track of your score. Let us know on Twitter, @CrespoDiso. Question number 2, also 1 point. Another simple question. Another question about a year. Jaws. We were talking about Jaws earlier. Came out in theaters June 20th, 19... What? What year did Jaws come out? Jaws came out in theaters June 20th, 19... What? Those are your 2 1-point questions. For question number 3, guys, we're going up to 2 points, so it's getting a little harder. You ready? What R-rated movie has the record for highest box office gross in North America at $370 million. What R-rated movie is the box office grossing champion at $370 million for R-rated movies?
How much?
It made $370 million. And for all R-rated movies, it is the highest grossing film. What is that film? The highest grossing R-rated movie in North American box office history. 2-point question. They're going to get harder as the point values go up.
I'm taking a guess, but this can't be
right. That's what happens sometimes. You end up taking guesses. Now, This is a big part of Curtis Art Trivia. Drew knows what I'm about to do. Drew probably wasn't sure if I was going to do this with only a 5-question round, but I'm doing this. When I say word, I need you guys to say jumble with excitement, because it is time for a word.
Jumble.
Oh, jumble.
No,
my bad. Sorry.
That's a trivia host's worst nightmare when that happens, guys. That's a worst nightmare, but it's a word jumble time. Pedro, here's how it goes. You got the word jumble box on the bottom. I'm going to give you eight letters. You write them down, and then you're going to rearrange them to make a word that fits the clue I give you. Your letters are E as in echo, D as in dickhead, P as in penis, O as in octagon, R as in righteous, U as in under, C as in Crespo, and R as in rim job. Those letters, E-D-P-O-R-U-C-R. Your hint is all of the credit, none of the blame. This is a word that is related to movies in some way. All the credit, none of the blame. You seem to write it down pretty quickly. Drew wrote it down pretty quickly. All right, these guys feel pretty confident with their trivia, so I'm going to have to go back here. Question number 5 is a 5-point question. This is the hardest question of the night. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
What is Michael J. Fox's middle name? It's a 5-point question. What is Michael J. Fox's middle name? That is your half round of movie trivia. No, give each other your answer sheets. You're going to grade each other.
Go.
Here we go. First off, let's see. I got to get to... I got to get to the right place. I usually have more time to do the music, to curate the music. Drew is really pushing me here to get this done. It's fine. No, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine. No, I understand. This is the grading music, though. Here's the grading music. It's James Brown. Question number 1. Martin Scorsese was born in what year? Pedro. Drew said
1952.
Drew, what did Pedro
1942.
Say? 1942. The answer is 1942. Well done, Pedro. Nice. I'll keep track of the scores here. Number 2 for 1 point. Jaws came out in theaters June 20th, 19... What year? Drew, what did Pedro say?
1975.
1977, Drew said.
Drew said 1977. The answer is 1975. Well done, Pedro. You're up 2-0.
That one's not fair because I knew that's on my birthday. You know how they make you look at what's number one on your birthday?
Oh, really?
And Jaws was number one on October 21st.
In October was number one?
Yes.
That's crazy. Number 3. It's a 2-point question. $370 million. What R-rated movie is the highest grossing R-rated movie of all time? Pedro said...
We both Deadpool. Said Deadpool.
You both said Deadpool? Guys, Deadpool made like $367 million. At $370, it's Passion of the Christ. Still, it didn't.
That was R?
Yeah, that was rated
hard R.
Hard R and Deadpool. It came close.
It was a snuff film.
It came close, but it did not beat it.
On the Deadpool.
Drew, he wants Drewski. Up. Drew, he wants daps over there.
Close.
You guys both said Deadpool. That's number funny. 4, your word jumble. All of the credit under the blame.
Producer.
Yep.
Producer. You both said producer. Well done. You both get 2 points there. Drew, you have to get this one, and Pedro has to miss it for you to win.
I think he got this
one. I got it wrong.
did you?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. Michael J. Fox's middle name. What did Pedro say, Drew?
James.
And what did Drew say?
Jabberwocky.
Jabberwocky. Interesting. You're both incorrect. Pedro, you are the winner. Congratulations.
Wait, what the fuck was his middle name?
Oh, his middle name is Andrew. His middle name is...
So he just threw the J for nothing?
The J means nothing, guys. Yes, the J means... Oh, shut off the music there, as a matter of fact. No, let me just bring this music back up there. There we go. Yeah, the J means nothing. What happened? His name is Michael Andrew Fox, but he needed a professional name from the guild. Michael Fox was taken. He didn't like Michael A. Fox, because it makes it sound like he's a fox, like he's a babe. He didn't like Michael Andrew Fox or Michael Andy Fox, so he picked Michael J. Fox as an homage to one of his favorite actors. The J stands for nothing.
It's like the Michael Keaton one. His name is Michael Douglas.
Oh, yeah. His name's Michael Douglas. There's already a Michael Douglas.
And so he just, there's already a
sound. So he had to pick a Keaton. Well done, Pedro. Good job winning movie trivia with Chris Crespo. Drew, you are now 9-8. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a losing record this year, buddy.
Ay, caramba. All right, you know what? We're going to do something with the movie news. We have an email from Gabe. We're going to save that actually for after show because Pedro has a hard out time. So let's go ahead and jump into not this one. Where is it? Here we go.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
That is right, Pedro. You know how this goes. It's time for the lightning round. I have 10 questions, and then we need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Okay.
Number 1, Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number 1, where is the Slender Man?
In the woods.
Okay, number two. How important is portion control?
Extremely important.
Number three. How many donuts can you eat in one sitting?
If it's Krispy Kreme donuts, I can easily kill a hot box.
Was that a good like dozen?
A dozen. A easy. Good dozen. Easy.
Drew's
easy.
Nodding in agreement.
Oh, yeah. Easy. But easy. Dunkin' Donuts, maybe two.
Right, because they're not that good, though. That's why.
No, they're good.
Well, that and they're thick. Thicker. They're thick. Yeah. They're cakey.
How about Donut King donuts?
Never. I don't know what that is.
You gotta get
is that
on.
Bad?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Get on the Donut King, bro.
Where it's the fuck like, is a Donut King?
There's one over here on Howell Branch. It's like the type of place where you expect to get your maple bacon donut amongst other crazy things.
Okay, wait. There's a place in Sanford.
There's a few of them. It might be similar, if not the same
it's
thing.
It's not called Donut King, though.
Same deal.
But it's the same thing where they have like 20 different crazy donuts.
Dude, but their glazed donut is so good.
It's crazy. When you go to those crazy donut places, they're simple, like glazed donuts, right?
Yeah.
Number four, rain or shine?
Rain.
Number five, will the Mission Impossible movies ever introduce Agent Ethan Hunt's brother, Michael?
We can only hope. We can only hope.
And will they say his full name? Number...
Mike!
Number six. Community pools. Yay or nay?
I'm going to say nay.
So would I. Number seven. Do you worry about shark bites?
Yes.
Number eight. Pho?
Q.
Or...
Oh, I thought we were completing sentences.
Complete the sentence. Fuck yeah. Q.
All right, you know what? That's fine. Number nine. What?
No. Go back. What was it? Fa
or ramen?
Isn't it both the same?
Drew.
Different noodles.
Ha.
Ah, ramen.
Number nine. What is your favorite ice cream sundae topping?
It used to be almonds.
But now...
whipped cream, always.
All right, number 10. And forever. Number 10, death, taxes, HPV. Who do you kick out of the hot tub?
HPV.
All right, there you go. Three things you can't avoid. Let's get into the end of the show, which means it's swag bag time. Drew, you got those two bags there. Show them those bags. Pedro, you know how this goes.
Yeah.
You can pick one of those. You got the blue shiny one. You got the green shiny one. Which one do you want
I'm
to
I'm going with
into?
The blue shiny one.
All right, let's get into that blue shiny bag. That's what he said, right?
Sir, you may get to go home with a jokes and gags squirt gum in three styles. Well, apparently, you only get one of them, though.
But it comes in three.
Yes,
collect
it comes in
all.
Three.
There
collect them all.
There you go.
Toy tunes for kids. A harmonica. It's easy to use and fun to play.
Yo, that's one of my closing bits. The harmonica.
Harmonica bit.
Got some glow-in-the-dark stars. Stickers included there for twinkling room decor.
So you don't have to be
dopeness.
Scared of 40 night. Pieces. We have a sandwich container. No sandwich. Yes.
Yo, this is so far the best Father's Day gifts I've gotten.
We have a cinema DVD Crespediso copy of Capitalism, a Love Story with extras.
Michael Moore.
And okay. $1 Million Baby.
And $1 Million Baby.
Oh, okay, yeah.
A plethora of stickers from Cinema Crespediso and our friends.
There you go. So you can take all that home for your Motherfuckers Day. Not only just Motherfuckers Day, successful Motherfuckers Day. Or we put the bag away. And you take what we have in the box that Drew has right over here. You know the box is a good old box.
What's in the fucking box?
I am going with the bag.
Oh, we're going with what's in the bag.
I am going with the baggie.
He takes the bag. He knows what's in the bag, so he takes home the bag.
There's no way I can find out what's in the box, though.
No way whatsoever. No, we will.
Son of a bitch.
We will now throw the box, contents included.
Son of a bitch.
Into a wood chipper.
No! Show it!
And no one will ever know what's in there.
No.
As a matter of fact, when I filled up the box, I did it blindfolded. I don't even know what's in there. So it's, you can torture me and you won't find out. That's not true. Don't torture me.
Let's torture him.
Pedro, thank you so much for coming out, man.
Dude,
we appreciate
thank you so much. Always fun.
You're the man. We appreciate it. Drew, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back in a second with some quick movie news and then we're going to wrap up the show. But Pedro, we appreciate it, buddy. Everyone, be excellent to each other. Be cool to each other. It's a crazy fucking world and you need to band together. It's fucked up. Stick around, though. We'll be back in a little bit more. I'll sit on my crest when he said. He dropped the bag.
Hey, buddy, how are you? Have you been looking for an oddly specific type of weekly, one-hour, pre-recorded radio program slash podcast that is hosted by a couple of married idiots discussing the news of the week? You have? Huh. You can enjoy talking nonsense with Eric and Stacy along with our 26 other listeners by subscribing at iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and Alt360Radio.com. We also air at 8 a.m. Central on FM2 Talk Radio on TuneIn. Give it a shot. Or don't. My self-esteem really could use the boost, though. Thanks, buddy.
Yo, yo, what's good, world? This is your boy, Steezy, coming to you straight out of the Trap House. We are pumping out two brand new shows a week for you, featuring the illest open discussion in O-Town. We love highlighting local Orlando talent, including comedians, musicians, artists, and anyone with beer money. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to finally know what the heat of the week is and not feel like a downright herb, download Steezy's Trap House on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher today. Get booked!
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
What's up? We are back. Just me and Drew now. Patreon of the Go. It's a Father's Day, man. It's I'm saying, motherfuckers, say anyone can fuck a mother. Not anyone's a father. Just because you fuck a mother doesn't mean you made her the mother.
Correct.
It's not a motherfucker day. It's a mother creator day. You created a mother by fucking a woman and getting her pregnant. And then even then, you gotta wait for her pregnancy to
come full term. Yeah.
No. Maybe we have to be a mom.
Yeah. I still think this link between sex and birth and child rearing is dubious at best. I'm gonna look at that 9-month difference there. It doesn't make any sense. You have sex and 9 months later baby happens. Junk science, if you ask me. Listen.
You're a flat earther too, right, Chris?
The earth is flat. Climate change isn't real. The climate has been the same for all 6,000 years that God created the flat earth. All right. Dinosaurs' bones were put here by God to test our faith in him. Disney is losing attendance because Orlando embraces gays too much. That's why everyone needs to go to the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum. We should take a Cinema Crespo Diso trip to the Creation Museum. You know about that, right?
Chris, I know. I know that there is a religious theme park in my town. Well, there was.
The Creation Museum is in the middle of America somewhere. You haven't heard about that? Ken Ham?
I don't care.
He's trying to debate Bill Nye. He wants to debate creationism versus science with Bill Nye.
Bill Nye's going to destroy.
Well, Bill Nye's an asshole. Yeah, he'll destroy people. He doesn't give a shit. And this guy opened a museum that's a creation museum that purports to show the real history, the 6,000-year history, and you know, it's dioramas that show, like, Adam and Eve riding dinosaurs and shit like that. And he also built the Ark Encounter, which is the supposed recreation of the entire Ark, and turned that into... He's trying to turn all that into a big theme park thing. You know about any of that?
Crazy asshole.
We should go.
Yeah. No, I don't want to support that in any way, shape, or form.
No?
No.
Why not?
Because it's very... unchristian.
Well, I'm just saying, if we go there, then maybe we'll find, you know, they'll have the display where they show the storks that bring the babies.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand this whole, you have sex with a person and there's a baby?
Mm-hmm. Procreation, buddy.
But I have sex with people and there are no babies.
Either you're shooting blanks or they're barren or it's the wrong time of the month or you're using a condom
or
some other sort of birth control.
I am shooting blanks, but only when I'm staging false flag operations at schools to help the government.
Is that what you're calling it? You call it a false flag operation?
That's when I shoot my blanks when we're doing the false flag fake terrorist attacks to set up the FEMA camps. Mm-hmm. How else are we going to set up the FEMA camps without bringing the fear?
Sure.
I'm just saying, this is the kind of stuff when you're Orlando's number one reformed libtard cuck snowflake. I'm reformed now.
Yeah. Oh, you're reformed?
I'm reformed.
Did you go to a...
I went to a men's rights conference.
Did you go one of those gay camps?
I went to a gay camp men's rights conference.
Where they made you un-gay, un-libtard, un-snowflake?
Yeah, the thing is, though, if you're not gay, but you go to one of those gay conversion camps, you become extra not gay. It's like, then you become like super hetero. I'm now an alpha male.
Extra not gay, like, so that means...
I'm now an alpha male. I look down on beta males.
That means you look down on beta males. Yeah. You fuck girls unless you're in a bathroom stalled in an airport.
No, that's right. Yeah, correct. Yeah. No, I fuck girls in bathroom stalls at Yankee Stadium.
No, you fuck girls wherever you want to.
Wherever I want to.
But you only fuck guys in bathroom stalls at airports.
Yeah, you do the thing where you... I think you're... you suck them off under the stall?
I don't know how it works.
It's like the floor's dirty. I don't get it.
I'm just starting to take a piss and get the fuck out.
So this is a very confusing episode of Cinema Crespity. So, we are going to now do the movie segment.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about
getaway.
Navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beebs?
That's right, Cinema Crespity. So, movie news segment, where we talk about the most important movie news, such as, what's up with that flipper flop couple divorce? What's that, Christina and Tarek? That's crazy. You guys seeing this shit? Drew, you seeing this shit?
What?
Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt still trying to work out their differences, but of course, most importantly, what's going on with the Biebs? It's time for that Biebs update, and we're going to a listener for that.
Yes, we are. Our homeboy Gabe.
Our homeboy Gabe has a Biebs update.
Apparently, Justin Bieber got a new tattoo.
What?
That says, better at 70, right on his leg.
What?
Yeah, hang on, let me see. Blah, 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 blah. There's,
better at 70?
Yes, he says, I look back at my mistakes and insecurities. I've wasted a lot of time. Muscular Justin Bieber touches down in Switzerland before unveiling huge better at 70 tattoo on his leg.
So he's waiting to hit 70 years old, at which point he'll believe he'll be better?
Yes, apparently.
I'm confused.
Uh-huh. Well, it's Justin Bieber.
All right. Well, Gabe also has more movie news stories, does he not?
Yes, he does.
Actual movie news stories, actually?
Uh-huh.
What does he have?
Josh Brolin is getting majorly jacked for Deadpool 2, claims he's not on steroids, says he's doing a regimen of totally clean, no sugar, no breads, no pastas, no drugs, none of it. Fish, rice, eggs, veggies, water.
Yeah. Josh Brolin's getting ripped for Cable.
But if you look at the pictures, it's kind of hard to believe that he's not using some sort of something.
Because his arms are now gigantic.
His pecs are as big as his head!
You know what it probably is? HGH.
Whatever
they're all on HGH out there, them actors.
Whatever
it is. Them Hollywoodies.
It's either that or he's, you know, maybe he's just got the build. I mean, has he been a muscular guy his entire life? Because it's really easy to get back.
I don't think so. I don't think he was ever...
Or if you put down a base when you're younger.
Yeah, I don't think he was ever muscular like that, but I think he's always been like healthy and in shape. He's never been that fat thick. When he's gotten older, like most people do when he gets to your 40s, because he's in his 50s now. When he gets to your 40s, you know, you just start thickening up. It happens. But before that, he was always in shape. So he had to be in shape to land Diane Lane, for crying out loud. Goddamn Diane Lane.
Also, a Jordan movie theater apologizes for screening Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
The Cinema City Amman joins Lebanon, Tunisia, and Palestinian theater in boycotting the superhero movie over its Israeli star.
Yeah, because for the simple fact that she's Israeli, and, you know, there's wars over there and a lot of ideological differences and deaths and... It's a pretty nasty situation out there. Man, we've talked about this before. They just need to allow drinking. They got all that hashish over there. They need to use it. And then chill out.
Well, I mean, it's
hot and sandy. They need to combat that somehow. And the religious extremism isn't the way to improve their lives.
Well, it's only making it worse. It is kind of our fault.
Well, in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, the Western world did just kind of carve out a piece of Islam and say, hey, Jews, move there. Have fun.
Yeah, but also, it's been a problem since before the Western world had the ability to do anything
well,
like
yeah.
that.
Well, yeah.
For some reason.
Uh-huh.
Someone decided it was a holy spot.
Yeah.
And everyone for thousands of years later have been like, yeah, it's holy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they all
These things matter. These things are real.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's a video game. You ever heard about the eventual heat death of the universe?
Looking forward
to
it.
That's the big thing everyone's talking about now, heat death.
Or what, lack of heat? Because
no,
with the universe expanding...
I think universe overheats.
How so? With so much negative space.
Look up heat death. Look up universe heat death.
Anyway, Mary Poppins is coming back, apparently.
Yeah, Mary Poppins returns with Emily Blunt. Lin-Manuel Miranda is writing a bunch of the music. And Dick Van Dyke is reprising his role as a terrible accented chimney sweep. Or he'll be like, I have a terrible accent.
Are they going to be able to say his name?
Dick Van Dyke. Why not? Because it's Dick and Dyke.
It's the Bleep Bam Bleep Show.
It's the Bleep Bam Bleep Show. Yeah, those are his names. We're going to censor a poor man's name. This is exactly what the libtard activists want you to do, to deny your delicious, proper German heritage. What, they want you to be, if your name was Shaquisha von Laquanda, they wouldn't try to bleep you out, would they? Right?
Well, I'm,
white genocide. This, hashtag white genocide. I mean, hashtag white nationalism.
Is,
hashtag 666 genocide.
Is Laquisha a slang term for dick? And is... whatever you said for her last name, a slang word for a lesbian?
Yeah, suck my Laquisha, you... I forgot what it was. Just I just made something up. I can't remember.
So
it's tiring being so hateful. I don't know how these guys... I can't even fake it for one segment of a show.
Justice League has dropped Junkie XL, Chris.
Yeah, they did. They dropped him as a composer. And a quote from Junkie XL actually is along the lines of someone told him... you don't make it in Hollywood. You haven't made it as a composer until you get replaced on a project. So it's his first time being replaced on a project.
Hey, congratulations, you made it.
Yeah, so he feels like, well, I guess it's just a rite of passage type thing. It was about to happen. And he is being, it's not like Junkie XL is being replaced by some guy they found on the street.
It's Hans Zimmer, isn't it?
No, it's Danny Elfman. In
the same stratus.
And so yeah, exactly. They went with a legend. He's got replaced with the movie legend. Mm-hmm. Not only that, for Justice League, which features Batman, they got the guy who did Tim Burton's Batman and Batman Returns. Mm-hmm. Are we gonna hear? Da, 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 and then it goes. But at some point, for sure, though, the Justice League score will get all Danny Elfman, where it go.
Still, whenever I hear a Batman score, all I think is Batman the Animated Series.
That's the best one. Yeah. That's the best one. Yeah, such a good movie. Such a good TV show. And such a great score. Classic, like straight up classical music, classical score.
Yes.
It elevated the show so much. It's ridiculous. Yeah, Junkie XL got replaced. So
and last but certainly not least, something that I found, movie news that I...
Yes, yeah. You didn't know about it. You teased this earlier, and I wanted you to look it up.
So a video game trailer
got
nominated for... Well, it's going to be nominated. It's up for nomination for an Academy Award.
There's
a 10-minute gameplay trailer for a video game called Everything. And it recently won the jury prize for animation at the Vienna Shorts Festival, which puts it in the running for an Oscar.
Sure, yeah.
The jury's statement on the trailer: the jury prize animation goes to a film which, beyond being entertaining, has a strong poetic and philosophical theme. It serves a highly educational purpose, including an important political statement that encourages us to let our egos dissolve and get a new perspective on the world.
Wow, that's crazy. So it's advertising for a video game, but it's really a short film based on the world of a video game.
Is it like those Halo
commercials?
Kind of, because it's a 10-minute gameplay trailer, so it's basically just showing what this game is, what it does,
and
what you can do.
It's interesting that
it's a gameplay trailer, so it's edited, and it was put in as a short film.
Interesting.
And it won.
Very interesting.
It met all the requirements.
So it's not nominated for Academy Award, but it's eligible to be nominated for Academy Award because that's crazy.
Because it went into got nominated into the short film, it won, and that film festival... is one of the eligibility for the Oscars.
So what's the name of it again?
It's Everything.
Everything. All right, well, people, check that out. Very, very cool. Yeah, there's no reason why someone can't take video game footage, gameplay footage, and turn it into something that's a good piece of art.
You can argue that you can argue that since the beginning of time, video games have been art.
Oh, for sure. Since Pong?
Since the very beginning, you could argue that it's technically art.
I forgot to ask you guys what your team names were. Your team name was Drew.
Yes.
Pedro's team name was Pluto. Was a fucking planet. Mm-hmm. So.
Not just a planet, a fucking planet. So that means there must be planet babies around. 9 months later, Chris, we're going to have little Pluto babies, apparently.
Happy Pluto Fuckers Day. We are the Pluto Fuckers.
No.
As Hip Hop Avengers, we fuck Plutos.
I hope you're talking about the planet and not about Mickey Mouse's dog.
I'm talking about slang term for stacks. For fat stacks. Stacks so fat they rotate around me like planets.
No.
If I was a Jetson, they'd call me Janets.
Would they? Why? Are you a white lady?
No, I'm just trying to make, just trying to make words. Yeah, I'm a white lady. I have the power of a million white ladies. Don't deny me. I have the power of a million white ladies.
That's a lot of cocaine, Chris.
That's a lot of cocaine. That was a lot of cocaine. Thanks, Gabe, for the movie stories. I had a movie news thing, add all my shit, and then I lost it. And I was looking right before the show, like, where are all my movie stories, and they were all gone.
It's all gone.
But unfortunately, Gabe came in without even knowing.
He came through. He saved you, Chris.
He saved the show. He saved the show. We appreciate that. Speaking of the show.
What about it?
I guess that's it.
Okay. I'm down with that.
Okay, so we're out of here. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week. What, episode 233 of Cinema Crespi? So hopefully we'll be having a returning local comedian and podcaster. It's going to be a good one. And also trying to work on a very special bonus episode for an afternoon as well. That'll be a drunken mess if I have anything to say about it. Precisely, Drew. Thank you very much. All right. It's Father's Day. I got to go greet my father. He's completing a 1,000-mile trip today, this afternoon.
When did they get in?
In a couple hours.
Okay.
Not here yet. There's also a beef stew dinner waiting for him.
There you go.
If you're interested. You're,
totally. You're maybe. Who knows?
That means no, guys. We will be back next week with 233. Thank you, Drew.
Very welcome,
sir. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Rate us and review us on iTunes. Be excellent to each other. Take your money out of the big banks, et cetera, et cetera. You know the drill. Free Mumia Abu Jamal.